This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Peter Cat Recording Company. I'm Megan Aftermath, and I'm here with host Kara Manning at WFUV. Kara, this is such a cool and unique group of artists and musicians. I think what I find so interesting about them is the fact that they really are a diplomatic team. There's so many different people who write, play multiple instruments in this group. I think they really stand uniquely alone, kind of in that category.
There are three songwriters, Suryakant, Kartik, and Dhruv. But Suryakant really sort of is the front man overall in a lot of cases. But I think what's really interesting about the way that they work is that they do not fix upon a particular genre. There's a little bit of everything. There's jazz, there's Bollywood, there's rock, there's like metal, there's classical music, there's disco. I mean, there's everything in what Peter Cat Recording Company does, so that because you can't really define them, they become that much more compelling because they kind of open doorways into like a different way of looking at music or listening to music. They also sort of, and I wish I had spoken to them more about this, but they sort of defy the stereotype of what you think a band coming out of India might sound like. I'm excited for what lies ahead for them because they have this ardent following in the United States, in Europe, in the UK. They are on this huge 77-day tour that they're in the midst of. I think that anything and everything is possible for this band. And they saw me through the pandemic. I fell upon them by accident and became immediately obsessed. I know, Megan, that you are equally obsessed by them.
Yeah.
They are the kind of band that makes you kind of instantly smitten, head over heels, desperately wanting more. And I had a nice jolt of nerves talking about them because it's a band that kind of means a lot to me since I've discovered them. So I was really excited that they were actually here. They came up to the Bronx to talk to us.
Yeah. So what are we going to hear first for this session?
We are actually going to listen to Kartik Pillai's song Full Muse. What was nice about the session is that each of the songwriters took their own song and performed it for us. So we're going to begin with Full Muse on FUV Live Sessions in Studio A.
Could I be news or something of you? So won't you save me? Won't you keep me like no one you knew? All those years I was a glove and you knew it. Smile when I said something stupid. Next time I'm in your head, better lie down, play dead. Nothing left to guess, nothing really new, I bet. Not trying to be a creep, be obtuse, but you can use me, hit and abuse me, and I'll make you happy. I'll make you so glad that you're my baby. You show me, and if you're done living in your house of mirrors, oh, won't you unplug? Sitting by my fire, you hope it don't seem too late, 'cause everything you show me. behavior. Next time I'm in your head, better lie down, play dead. Nothing left to guess. But none of you is left. Not trying to be a creep, be obtuse, but you can use me. It and abuse me, and I'll make you happy. I'll make you so glad that you're my baby. I want you so bad. Yeah, you make me happy. You make me so glad that you're my baby. I want you so bad.
I'm Kara Manning, and that is Peter Cat Recording Company on FUV Live Sessions with Full Muse, live in Studio A. The New Delhi Band's new album, Beta, has also evolved into their biggest tour yet, 77 dates in total worldwide. And as of this mid-September morning, they've just played two very sold-out shows here in New York at Brooklyn Steel and Irving Plaza. What is so compelling about Peter Cat Recording Company is that they artfully weave a rainbow of genres into their songs, tackle big philosophical questions, are witty and irreverent and deeply thoughtful. Their music is immersive and life-affirming. I couldn't be happier to welcome Suryakant Soni, Karan Singh, Kartik Pillai, Rohit Gupta, and Dhruv Bola of Peter Cat Recording Company to FUV for the very first time. Thank you guys for being here, really. It's just so wonderful to have you here, especially with Beta, new in the world. And I'm wondering, the reception you have been getting in the United States, has that been startling to you? Because last year you were here in New York City, you sold out, I think, If You Breathe, your three shows here in New York City sold out immediately. The same thing happened again, you know, this autumn, this summer with these shows.
It's a bit of both, I would say. I think there was some initial, obviously, excitement and surprise and, you know, trepidation at seeing like where this is going, especially when you announce a tour and you're curious about how the ticket sales will go. So I think for the first tour, which we did, which was last year, it was incredibly exciting. And it was just, yeah, it just felt like things were coming together, which, you know, is a rare moment in life. And I think we took a big step this year as well, making an even more ambitious tour physically and mentally and financially. And in general, yeah, I feel like we worked hard and it's a mix of luck. And I think we almost deserve it.
Yeah, I would agree. And we opened with Full Muse. And the thing that is also remarkable about Peter Cat Recording Company is that there are three vocalists in this band. You're kind of like Fleetwood Mac without the romantic drama. And Kartik, you sing this beautiful song, Full Muse. And I'm wondering, you've described it about losing yourself to a fool's muse. Can you expand upon that? What that means to you?
I mean, there's lots of ways to look at it, in the way that either you fall completely head over heels in love with something or someone. And then there's the other option of like, when you're feeding off of a muse to get whatever ideas you need and stuff. And if you ever choose the wrong muse and it takes you down some weird road, but it still gives you what you want, but it kind of destroys you at the end. You know what I mean? And it's also how unconditional love would also sometimes work. But I find that to be the most romantic gesture, to be all in, and no matter what happens, you're just going to do what you were going to do.
Peter Cat Recording Company is sort of touches on a lot of things. Love is obviously seems to be conceptually what this album is about, is sort of searching for love, understanding love, pushing love away, or am I really off with this, Dhruv?
There's a lot of themes in there. Love definitely is one of them. Maybe it's not necessarily like romantic love or just like having relationships with so many people and Karan's child and I don't know, just growing up. And, you know, it's like a little picture of everything we've been through so far as individuals and maybe together.
I love the fact that Karan, your son, is the person who picked the title of this album, Beta, which means child or son.
Yes. In Hindi. Yes, it does.
So how did that happen that he became the... Because he's what? A baby. So how did the baby choose this title?
So at that point, he reached the stage of grabbing things and he was curious, whatever was in front of him. And so we just had this wild idea of like putting 7 names in front of him and let him choose whatever we pick, whatever he picks, we go ahead with that. And it was quite serendipitous that he picked up the name that we all kind of narrowed down on. And the moment he picked up, we were like, okay, sorted. So one thing is off now. Let's move on to other things.
I love that. Yeah. Can I ask about some of the titles that your child did not pick?
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, you should let that
be. He picked the right one, and it's out in the universe now. I didn't discover you until you had released what was your second album, although you've released other albums. Do you consider Beta your third album? Or because you have 7 that you've kind of released?
I don't think we're even...
You don't count.
We're not even sure what
you're not sure what you're
doing.
Yeah, really...
I think we've gone through, like, you know, the whole chronological process has completely been destroyed in our lifetime. Like, you can change things from the past now, you know, like stuff like, you know, you can release music on Bandcamp or something, right, and then change a song. So what I'm trying to say is that there's no linear progression anymore. So we've changed our own history. We've modified how we wish to like be seen in a certain way. So there's been a lot of albums is what I'm saying. There's been a lot of music. And some have been things we wished we didn't release. Some of things we regret, or some of things we did like. And at some point we decided to start again. So you could say in the second coming of Peter Cat, yes, this is the third album. But over the lifetime of the whole band, it might be the 7th or 8th.
Okay. Because it originally kind of, because you used to be, you were a film student. You lived in San Francisco for a while.
Yeah, 3 years.
For 3 years. And during that span of time in San Francisco, you had sort of a reckoning and you realized that you were not happy doing film and that music was something that made more sense to you. Or can you, because I'm trying to understand the evolution, because all of you, have you all... You all sort of came together more or less after Cinema, which was the first album, or were you kind of working together at that point?
It's happened in stages. I think at the point of when Cinema was released, I'm not sure. Karan, were you around at Cinema? No, I think So after the first album's release is when this current version of the band started to take shape. I mean, it's happened over a period of like 13 years.
So I would say
this is the definitive lineup, like Fleetwood Mac style. Well, you know how that goes. But like right now, this is the definitive lineup.
When you went to San Francisco, it ostensibly for music, or was it you were studying film at that point?
I actually went there to study 3D animation. And it's just, I mean, I went there to study some sort of art because I couldn't find the kind of education I wanted back in India. Or more than that, I also just wanted to experience outside life, life outside India, because I felt like that something would be really beneficial to me, obviously. And it was. I mean, I think the education of living in a city like San Francisco exceeds the college education. So what happened really there is that I was exposed to culture. And 3D animation was basically sitting in front of a computer all for many hours. And the film school kids just looked cooler and, you know.
Were you playing like instruments at that point or not?
I played a little bit of guitar, but I didn't write music at all until maybe the second year of me being in San Francisco. I might have been 21 years old or 22, I think. Yeah, but it basically started over there, and also had friends who were part of that scene. There was a garage scene there, like bands like the OCs and stuff like that. It just felt like a really cool do-it-yourself sort of ethos. Make your own music, record your own music. That was, for me, I think that was the tipping point where I realized, wow, this is something you can create by yourself in great detail. And the breaking point for me from film was just the cost of making a film, you know. So ultimately I was looking for some sort of output for my imagination, and I was hoping film would be that, but I just didn't have the money or the personality to, you know, like go about that whole process of getting money from people to make a film, like a 4-minute film about something. That just didn't feel like the right step for me, and music felt like something I could control more and make. It's kind of, for me, they're almost the same thing. Film and music, they have a very similar process.
Because you also have a second project, Lifafa?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is primarily electronic.
That's Hindi electronic music.
Yeah. So but is that something you're still doing concurrently, or is that the focus really has to be on Peter Cat?
At least in my case, I mean, everybody has some side projects, but I usually oscillate between the two. like after this album, I'll go back to working on that stuff and focus on that for a while. That also just changes my mind up, but yeah.
So, Rohit, how do you all work together as a band? For example, you've got three songwriters. You've got Dhruv, you've got Kartik, you have Suryakant. How are these songs kind of brought to all of you so that you can then expand upon them or work on them?
I mean, there are like a lot of different ways we have been working on it. Sometimes we recorded in some different places, which was pretty interesting. Some of the songs came out in those spaces. Like Flowers Are Blooming was recorded in this old church in Goa, and the ambience of that church and the ambience of the space, and we sort of jammed it out, and you know, it's a live recording of that particular moment. And
it was in the middle of the night. You did a lot of your recordings in the middle of the night too, correct?
Or is yes.
That, yeah.
No, just
yeah.
Quiet, there's less traffic. And,
oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, no traffic and lots of insects. yeah, so I mean, it has been like a mix. Some of the songs have come about. I personally always observed that whenever we stepped out of our houses, something nice happened. We try to make like a lot of music in our rooms and in our houses, like try to come up with a lot of parts and try to finish the music. But as soon as we stepped out, I felt like something nice happened, and that actually helped to finish the music.
Now, you mentioned Flowers Are Blooming, which is a Suryakant song. Talk a bit about this track and what it means to you.
So it's also like many songs happen in stages. I had a version of the song in harmonium, and I had this little like, and there are actually a lot more extensive lyrics. It's a longer song, but I sort of distilled it for the recording because of the actual recording which took place. But essentially it started as a small, just me singing with the harmonium, like the performance we did today. And then the real next step was sort of, I had in my mind that I wanted to sort of create some sort of a, almost an Indian classical piece of music, but with this, with some sort of twist to it. And what ended up happening is we bought this new instrument called a Swar Sangam, which is this fantastic Indian-like instrument, which is, it's a mutant instrument, actually. It's not a classical instrument, which is a combination of two instruments. And we bought that. That was in the scale of C, you know, in musical scales. And the song was already in the scale of C. So we just started putting more and more stuff in it, which was in the scale of C. And this just started making this, I like, incredibly complex sound, but I just liked it. And I think it really struck when we took it to, when like the recording Rohit was talking about, that old church house in Goa. We went and recorded. We just set up to record, actually, like, I don't know what the hell we were thinking, but we just took all our stuff there in the middle of the night and just set up and sort of made a decision to sort of record the song there. So I think we just sat in that place for 6-7 hours, kept playing it again and again until we figured out the parts we wanted to all have. And we just recorded it there, right? And that was it. I heard that, and that for me was just the definitive recording of the song.
There's also a philosophical rather bend to it. It's sort of, it sits at the top of the album for a very good reason. It's sort of an introduction of what you're kind of exploring song by song on this album.
There are a couple of songs in the album which the perspective which I've taken is almost like, in a weird way, a deity or somebody who has a larger like sort of perspective of what's happening, like almost like some sort of saint. Not to say, what I'm trying to say is that somebody who sees the bigger picture. And I would say that song is also something like that. It describes your space in the world. It describes like largening your perspective and just for a moment actually placing yourself in reality and forgetting about your basic stuff, like, hey, I'm living in this house and a phone, I'm on a phone, there's actually this whole universe going on. And yeah, I think it just goes deeper into that, and it's like a bit tragic. I mean, for me, it's a tragic song because I think I'm generally like, my approach to it, a lot of things is tragedy. That's my perspective. I see things tragically. And I think that's how I approach that song.
I'm Kara Manning on FUV Live Sessions, and this is Peter Cat Recording Company in Studio A with Flowers Are Blooming.
Maybe I'm a fool. A fool like you. Believing in heaven. From inside a zoo. Thinking there's a God. Laughing about oh, he is a sinner for letting us lose the flowers are blooming, the answers are looming. They will remain, and I will wait. The dancers are fading, the cancers are raging. They will recover. Forget, yeah. Oh, we will forget. I'll be anything.
Tara Manning with FUV Live Sessions. That is Flowers Are Blooming with Peter Cat Recording Company. And I am here today with Suryakant, Kartik, Karan, Rohit, and Dhruv. And I wanted to ask about how the three songwriters, Suryakant, Kartik, and Rohit, how do you sort of divide that responsibility that you each have, or when you're bringing something to the project?
For the most part, I think Suryakant has still written most of the songs. And also, I think at some point, because Kartik also has other music projects.
You have your own label too, Kartik, right?
Yeah. Big man.
Big man.
Yeah, so yeah, he writes music as well. And then I have also been writing music for a little bit of time. So I think at some point, the idea of there being more than one songwriter and sort of more than one voice came up. And yeah, and it just so happened that, at some point, someone heard a part of a new song and was like, okay, maybe we should include this song in the album or something like that. So, but there was definitely some sort of conscious decision to involve more than one songwriter on Suryakant's part.
And Suryakant, who directs the videos? Do you direct the videos that you do for the band?
So far, yes.
So far, because Suddenly is an incredible video, which video features your mom.
Yes.
Features all of you dressed as merchant marines.
Yeah.
The song is about your dad.
Yeah, and mom, yeah.
And your mom. And is it, you actually filmed your mother listening to the song for the first time?
Yeah.
How, I'm just, because it's just such a beautiful video to watch, and the song itself is incredibly moving. But when you told your mom you were going to do that, was she okay with that?
She didn't know what was going to play. So,
wow.
Yeah, we just put it on the table. I mean, she loves, she's a pretty filmy human being, as you. So she really enjoys being part of something which can, like, you know, it's got to come from somewhere. Yeah, so I think she had no idea what was coming. So we just played the song for her. She didn't know it was going to be about my father. She just thought, okay, we're playing a song. So the first video we got of her reactions were really, like, legitimate. And then we tried to do another take, but obviously that was never going to be the one, right? And then also the part where she actually sees the boat, she has no clue that we're coming in a boat. So I think that was really hilarious.
That was,
yeah, she's
funny.
Like, what is going on?
It's just wonderful. It really is. So you all also do your own artwork. And who handled, I think, was it Karan? You did the artwork for the album?
It was more of a collaborative process,
right,
for the album art. But I majorly, I'm sort of the art director, you can say.
Right.
But Suryakant also is a great artist. And for this album, we also hired another person. So it was more like a team effort.
You handle everything as a band, which is really quite extraordinary. This album is released on Muddy Water, which is your own label.
It's sort of a co-publishing thing between us,
right,
and another little label.
Okay, so you share it. But you're very much, you have this DIY aesthetic. And I was talking to Dhruv, your manager is also named Dhruv. And he was describing how in India it is quite difficult because there aren't very many venues. For example, Antisocial is in Mumbai. It is the one big venue. You've played it, you know, four times, I think you had said. There's not the opportunity, as there is in the States or in the UK, to really tour as a band in India. So that kind of holds you back.
As a band, for sure. But I would definitely say that as a electronic musician or potentially a rapper now, there are definitely a lot of venues. But I think, yeah, like, the band culture in India is just not, it's very difficult for it to take off because of the reasons you have given. There's not enough cities to play and make a living off of, you know. There's only so many times you can keep playing in some of the major cities.
Right.
And it's obviously, economically, it's a burden compared to just being a rapper or electronic DJ who just, like, plugs and play. There's no cost, there's no overhead. So, in order to be a band, basically you need to figure out how to get out of India and expand your sort of horizons to play in as many places as possible.
Suryakant, you're moving to London with your wife.
Yeah, and we're trying anyway.
You're trying anyway. And the rest of you are all remaining in India for now. So how is that separation going to affect how you're going to get together and record, do you think?
So, since COVID also happened, so we all kind of figured out a way to work together remotely as well. And because of technology, and also because we figured out a way where probably we hold, like, boot camp sessions now. So we plan a few weeks in the year where we all meet together in some part of the world. And then we basically try to finish the recordings.
You did some recording in Joshua Tree too,
yes,
For Beta, yeah, for this album too.
A few songs, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you can all meet in Joshua Tree at some point.
It's done. Joshua Tree is done. We need a new.
Why not? Okay.
So Dhruv, when I heard I Deny Me, which is very much, is it a love song? I ask with a question.
That's what it seems like.
That's why I had.
But it's not actually.
It's not a love song.
I mean, if you want a short story, yes, it's a love song, so I don't have to say much. But
yeah.
It's not actually a love song. It's a song about writing a song about someone that, it's sad, but someone that was very close to me and passed away when I was really young. And I just could never find the words to actually express that. I tried writing about it so many times in my life. And then I still feel like I couldn't express what I wanted to express. But I did have a moment with it, with the song. So I thought, okay, you know what? I think this might be the point where I stop, and this is the point for closure. So yeah, that's what the song is actually about. But it does sound like a love song because it is about love, but it's not necessarily like, oh, I love this, I'm straight, so I love this woman, you know, like it's not like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it felt like a love song, but not necessarily a romantic love song,
yeah,
which
exactly.
is why I put a question mark at
yeah,
the end of
yeah,
the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. It's not.
It's a beautiful song. Quickly, before we get into that, because of the fact that listening to anything that Peter Cat Recording Company has done has so many different influences, I don't want to sit here and ask you all your influences, although I would love to go around very quickly and ask you about one piece of music right now that you might be listening to currently that makes you happy. So I'm going to start with you, Surikant.
Khan, is it Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence?
Right.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like listening to that a lot these days.
All right.
Basically, I just like listening to music without a human voice. Yeah.
Okay, and Kartik?
Sin Sismith from Cambodia.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know them. I have to find them.
It's one singer. He was before the Khmer Rouge came in.
Karan?
Ajeeb Dasta Hai Ye from the film Vakt. It's a Bollywood film from the 60s. It's a beautiful song.
And Rohit?
I mean, I have the artist names. I don't have it.
He's looking. Dhruv is looking it up.
I've actually been listening to Mad Villainy by MF Doom. It's such a good album. Yeah, I just put it on, played on repeat. I listen to it when I exercise. And
I mean, I've been listening to Coltrane, My Funny Valentine. Yeah.
Peter Cat Recording Company, I'm so happy to have you here. It's such an honor. You're such a brilliant band. And we are going to end with I Deny Me. And thank you. I hope you guys are... Do you think we'll be touring the United States again maybe soon?
Let's see.
Depends
how this one goes.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
This is Peter Cat Recording Company with I Deny Me.
Somewhere deep in my mind you appear, as I write all the poems I hear. And I'd love it if I could get by, but if I don't ever try, I'd deny me. And I'd love it if I could get by, but if I don't ever try, somewhere deep in my mind you appear, as I write all the poems I hear. And I'd love it if I could get by, but if I don't ever try, I'd deny me. And I'd love it if I could get by, but if I don't ever try, I would take this somewhere. I hear the silence somewhere undecided, out here as I'm designing something. I see the lightning and I'll make it so.
That was Peter Cat Recording Company performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to the band for joining us in the studio and to Muddy Water and Cosign. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Nadia Gariga, and Matthew Ellersick. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. New episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV live sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host and producer for this episode, Kara Manning.